This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Now, one of the surprising things about this election season, among too many surprising things, has been the evangelical vote. The Republican Party's alliance with evangelical Christians goes back for decades to the days of Jerry Falwell. But in the primaries, Donald Trump beat out all the religious conservatives like Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz. And since then, issues like gay marriage and abortion have seemed like an afterthought in the rhetoric. One of the big dissenters among evangelicals is a major figure, Russell Moore of the Southern Baptist Convention. Moore is not only opposed to Trump, he thinks that Christians should rethink their relationship with politics altogether. The New Yorker's Kelly Fasana has been writing about Moore. Kay, who exactly is this guy, Russell Moore?
Well, Russell Moore is the head of what they call the Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, and that basically makes him the theologian-in-chief of the Southern Baptists. It's a position that's sometimes referred to as being the evangelical pope.
I think in the Vatican they have a position like that, too. There's somebody who's in charge of the doctrine.
Yes, they have an even catchier name for it. For years, starting in the 1980s, they were a really important part of the Republican coalition. I mean, this is a group with a long history. It was formed in 1845 as they broke off from the National Baptist groups. And basically, they were formed in defense of slavery. And so they were a majority white church for their first century, basically. And they basically became the dominant religion in many places in the American South.
What kind of political force are they? What do they represent, and what kind of strength do they have?
Well, for a long time, the evangelicals were the most kind of powerful group of Christians, and the Southern Baptists were the most powerful group within evangelicals.
In the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah, so they were kind of in the driving seat.
What's changed?
Well, what's changed is that some have gotten disillusioned, partly as a result of the Bush years. There is this feeling that maybe among some younger evangelicals, they're maybe starting to rethink this idea that evangelicals were a little too cozy with Republicans and had maybe allowed themselves to be drawn into partisan politics. And while the Southern Baptists are still big, when you look at the numbers, there is a sense that maybe they are starting to shrink. And part of what Moore says is that we can't take for granted as Southern Baptists this idea that we are the majority, and that in fact maybe we should start thinking of ourselves instead as a moral minority.
Well, one of the things that Jesus is consistently saying is don't be afraid. Fear not. And frankly, one of my primary missions being to say to American Christians, the church doesn't rise and fall with American culture. The church is resilient because the church is bigger than America and bigger than culture and rests in the promises of Jesus himself. Augustine had to say that with the fall of the Roman Empire. I think every generation of Christians, we have to remind ourselves of that.
So, Kay, you talked this summer.
Yeah, I was at every year they do this big gathering of Southern Baptist pastors at Opryland, funnily enough, in Nashville. And
what's it like?
Well, it's younger than I might have expected. I think the median age of a Southern Baptist convention worshiper is 54 or 55 and rising. And this group was much, much younger than that, with a real emphasis on diversity. It's still a majority white denomination, but there were African Americans on stage, Latino pastors on stage. And so the sensibility was very different. And there was a sense in which this was kind of Russell Moore's crew. Is there a way to engage that next generation without declaring war on the past? I mean, is there a way that you can make maybe more culturally traditional, not to say conservative, members of the SBC comfortable with what you're doing? Or is part of your job to make them feel uncomfortable because what matters is the new generation coming up?
Well, part of what I see my role as being is to make all of us uncomfortable to a certain degree. So when I'm speaking to younger evangelicals, I'm often prodding them and calling them back from an overreaction to the last generation. Many of them wanted to respond to the sort of hyper-political baby boomer generation with this illusion of complete disengagement from social questions. I think there's a tendency in Christian life sometimes to declare war on the future, and older generations to see the next generation as a problem. I'm actually really encouraged by seeing what is happening with the next generation of evangelical Christians.
So, okay, in the 80s and 90s, the Southern Baptists were really the core of the religious right, or at least part of the core, and there was a coziness or an identification between evangelicals and the Republicans. Is this changing?
Yeah, it is changing. I mean, in retrospect, it seems like the Bush years did kind of mark the end of an era. There was this moment in the 2004 election campaign when evangelicals supported Bush very strongly, and there was an idea that Bush was going to then, in return, come out in favor of a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage. Obviously, that didn't happen, and for that and for a number of other reasons, there really was some disillusionment that set in, and a sense that the church and that the evangelical movement in particular, including the Southern Baptist Convention, made it too easy for politicians to use this religious group as a political tool.
Does that mean that Russell Moore represents a more liberal stream in the Southern Baptists?
It means he represents a less partisan stream. I mean, in terms of both theology and politics, Russell Moore is a conservative. He is, you know, very outspoken on the issue of abortion. He's very opposed to same-sex marriage. And, you know, in this election year, he's no fan of Donald Trump, but also certainly no fan of Hillary Clinton either. So he just thinks that Southern Baptists and all Christians need to be Christians first.
What I don't want to see is the kind of Bible Belt cultural Christianity where people are joining churches because it does them some social good. I think that's harmful to people. I think it's harmful to the witness of the church. People who see in a church simply an encouragement toward life management and or political positions are going to stay home and read the newspaper or watch television on Sunday mornings.
So what he's arguing for is, in a sense, more church and less state. But evangelicals, in the end of ends, are supporting Trump. No matter what they're hearing about any number of issues, any number of kind of behaviors, they're supporting Trump.
Yeah, and that's really the paradox that he's found himself in this year, is that it's one thing to say, I'm out of step with America. It's a more complicated thing to say, I'm essentially the theologian-in-chief of the Southern Baptist Convention, and I'm out of step with the Southern Baptists. And that's what he's trying to figure out. Part of it, maybe he hopes, is that this is an election year thing and this will die down after the election's over. I think part of it is that his hope is that it's a generational thing.
I think there's a great deal of difference, just anecdotally as I'm experiencing it, between over 50 evangelicals and younger evangelicals when it comes to the Trump. I mean, probably the most predominant question that I've been asked over the past couple of days, and it's been this way for months, what do we do? Who do we write in? Or is there a third-party candidate that you can tell us to vote for? I don't endorse particular candidates, so that's not what I do. But these are typically younger evangelicals. Older evangelicals are much more in the habit of the Republican nominee, says he's going to appoint pro-life, pro-family Supreme Court justices. Let's support him. I find the big division right now between conflicted evangelicals, even those who are voting for Donald Trump, but who are deeply worried about what this awful choice means for the future of America and the church, and those evangelicals who, after the primaries were over, were more than willing to simply put all of their concerns in a blind trust about character, about racial justice, about misogyny, about various other issues. I think that's a big, big division.
I've got to think that for a lot of evangelicals, and you see this certainly anecdotally, one of the reasons for support for Trump has to do with Islam, has to do with the sense that the U.S. is at war with radical Islam, that Obama doesn't realize, doesn't care, and that we need someone strong to fight for this country.
Definitely. I think you're right.
Is that necessarily a wrong or unbiblical thing to think?
No. I mean, it is if what we are saying is that Muslims themselves are people who ought to have their consciences violated, their religious freedoms restricted, the idea of religious tests for people in terms of being in this country on the basis of their religious affiliation, I think is wrong biblically. What's not wrong is Romans 13 in the Bible calls on the governing authorities to deal with evildoers and to deal with injustice. So certainly where you have violent movements such as the Islamic State or Al-Qaeda or other terrorist networks, the government has a responsibility to deal with this.
You do a lot of media. You do a lot of social media. Mm-hmm. You become very kind of public presence. Even so, you're probably not as public, probably not as famous as some other Southern Baptists that speak out about politics. Mm-hmm. Mike Huckabee, for example, mm-hmm. or even someone like Robert Jeffers, who leads the First Baptist Church of Dallas. Mm-hmm. Does it concern you, does it bother you that some of the kinds of voices that in this case have been pro-Trump may speak more to the older generation? Is it important that people, when they think of Baptists, think of younger, multi-ethnic leaders, or is that something you're not so concerned about?
Well, I'm not so concerned about that because we really don't live in an American culture where you have the sort of monolithic religious presence. That's not the world that we live in now. I think the question is, will we also be speaking to not just senior adults with memories of so-called Christian America, but to the rest of America and the world about an older, more ancient vision of what Christianity means. I think that's what's important.
To take the church back to what he thinks are its actual religious roots.
Yeah, I mean, I think he thinks that Christianity is more Christian in a certain sense when it is a minority. You know, I think part of it is this idea that power and political power corrupts. And of course, that's an easy enough thing to believe when your perception is that you don't have any political power.
The New Yorker's Khalif Hassani, and if you go to newyorkerradio.org, you can read his entire article about Russell Moore for the magazine.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.